Okay, so we started already on last week to explain the main idea of the geodesic voting. And okay, so I think we are there. So I repeat quickly, the idea is to, in order to segment the structure in an image, what you do is to give a starting point somewhere, and then consider all geodesic paths starting from the starting point and ending at one of the points on the boundary of the domain of the image. So what happens that you see that the geodesic concentrate all to join the branches of the object. And so what we call geodesic density or geodesic voting will be at each pixel. Here you see big pixels. Each time you compute a path, you add one by each pixel it passes by. And so you have this voting function, voting map here. And what you see is that in the background, you have a very low voting vote of 0 or 1, while on the different branches, you have many hundred paths passing by. And so the simple threshold on this voting map will give you the whole structure. So I think I just saw that last time, or? I just showed this example, I think. Okay. So now let's see the problem that we may encounter with this voting method. And the first problem, I mean, from this example, you see that everything is very nice, and you have, in just by one click, you get the whole object. But what can happen is, if you take this object, so you see it here, you have two branches and branches on each of these branches. What happens is that if you do the voting, so for example, you start from this point. What happens is that if you take all these paths around, they will join and make a high vote score for these branches. So you see here the score of the vote. But what you can see is that there are branches that are not reached by any of the geodesic paths. These are these branches here. What happens is that if you take the points from outside, they will all find a branch to join before they reach this area. So this is why we call this shading zone problem. It's like if these branches make a shade for all this region. And so it means that you have what we call a zero shading zone. It will be a zone where the vote is zero. So this is what happens here. And what you can see is that you have many regions here in the image where you have zero vote. So it looks, in fact, that it is not so efficient to use this method. And we're going to now bring different solutions to this problem. The first answer to this problem that may be interesting in some cases, but usually it's a little bit complicated, but I just mentioned it, is to say that in each of these zones here, you may make a second round, which means that from this domain here, you may consider again all the boundary points of this domain and all geodesic paths from a point in the boundary to the starting point, and then hope that it will find the new branches, I mean the missing branches. So this works indeed. However, what happens is that it may be a problem where you have small regions where you need more than one round. I mean, once again, inside this region, there may again be some shades and shading zones. So you may have to turn again. And it's a little bit difficult to make it really work on real images. So just mentioning the idea, but we pass to the next solution. Next solution is to use multiple source points. What we propose to use just one starting point, And in fact, if you use a starting point that is a different point, for example, if you start from this point here, then of course this branch will be obtained, since you find paths going to this point. So what you see here are all the paths and going to this point S1 and to this point S2. So if you say source point S1, source point S2, you have two different results, and the votes for each will give we solve this problem of the, for this branch here, for this branch in the second case, which means that if you take many source points, you may come to a complete solution where you have votes without any branch missing. So also this may be a way to make correct this geodesic voting. This is also not very satisfying if you remember what I said last time, that the objective of this method, in fact, because you, if you wish to give many interactions, you could give one starting point and many endpoints. So the objective was to just click one point and get the whole thing. So in this, if you keep this objective in mind, then adding many source points will not be a good idea, because more than the fact that the user has to give many points, here the source points may have to be chosen in a clever way, and the user would have to learn how to use this method, and it is not so so efficient to in this on this side of the fact that he has to choose the points in some way. The second thing is that if you have a complex image, you may need to have many source points, and this set of source points, since you at the end you take the cumulative vote of the many source points, you will in some way smooth the voting image, and also you may lose some of the property that I said, that the voting on the object here is very, very large compared to the background. So now if you make sum of many source points, then you lose a little of this property. That is means that the background, the relative difference between background and object will be reduced, and the choice of the threshold may also may be a little more difficult. So this method, I mentioned it because it may be mentioned, but this is not what we have found to be the best way. So the best way, in fact, would be to add endpoints. So you still keep one starting point, but in fact, at the beginning, we had this idea to use endpoints on the image domain boundary, but there is no real reason to do that. And in fact, we could use endpoints everywhere in the domain, in the image domain. So we could use endpoints everywhere and consider all geodesic paths from this starting point to all points in the image domain and make the vote. So this to consider all this whole set of geodesic paths will get two kind of problems. One kind is the fact that it is the computation time will be much higher if you take so many geodesics. And the second point is the point I just mentioned in the previous case, that if I take too many geodesics, then there will be a kind of smoothing effect, that the votes in the background will not be very small, but it may be high compared to the vote on the object. So once again, this smoothing effect make it more difficult to use to find an optimal threshold. But still, it may well work using this. So in order to solve this, the first problem, the question of computation time, what we propose is that, in fact, this computation here, the first way we used was what is called geodesic voting, was to compute each geodesic, as we said earlier in the course, by a gradient descent. You follow from each point the line the field lines of minus gradient u, where u is a geodesic distance to the starting point. And using all these geodesic tasks, you make votes. Now, the idea here is, in fact, you could compute this geodesic vote without computing the paths themselves. And this is based on a transport equation. So here it is. So if you consider this transport equation, ut plus divergence of vu, where v is the vector field minus gradient u, then this transport equation, by definition, it transports data along its characteristic lines. And its characteristic lines are the field lines of the vector field v, which means these are geodesic paths. So which means that you solving this transport equation will transport values along geodesic paths. Which means that if you have at the beginning, for example here, a value 1 on the boundary of the image domain, and value 0 everywhere else, then at time t, is a function u here, we'll transport the values 1 along the geodesic somewhere, along each geodesic, these values will be transported. So now, if you wish to make this vote, it corresponds, in fact, to integration of the values of u according to t. So at each point x in the image domain, you consider the integration along all t of u of tx, where u is the solution of this, which means that you integrate at each point, you get exactly the number of geodesics that pass through this point. So which means that here we said you can use as initial value for u at t equals 0 is 1 on the boundary and 0 everywhere else, but you can also use 1 everywhere or 1 in some part, and so it will compute the voting for a large set of geodesic paths. So you see that solving this transport equation will find the geodesic voting without computing the paths themselves and without being dependent on the number of paths you consider. So in this way, it solves the first question we had, which was if you consider now points everywhere in the domain, will it increase the computation time? So using this transport equation, it will not increase the computation time. So this solves the first problem. So how is the second problem I mentioned? The fact that it smooths the voting because you consider all paths, all possible paths. This remains a question that may be less efficient than using a smaller number of points. So, however, it solves u at t equals 0 is known. And on the boundary, I'm not sure actually. What? T equals 0 corresponds to the initial position of endpoint.
No,
the endpoint can be anywhere. So you can see here a solution In fact, there's nothing special about this, but from this image, you can see here the geodesic distance u, and here the vector field minus gradient u. So you see here the field that goes to the object, and here you see the solution of the integration of u, where u is the solution of this equation. So you see that you get what you expect to get in this case. So you see that you don't have any shading zone. You have all the branches. It represents the it is as if you make evolve the endpoints along geodesics, and at time t they would travel to this this point. At time t at endpoint x, it means this is the number of geodesics that pass by this point at time t. Not the number of them. It says if there is geodesic passing by at that time. So when you integrate it, it gives you the number of geodesics. Okay. So this is a nice way, in fact, to solve this problem. But I mean, for different reasons, and in fact, we also use another solution that we preferred, is to keep, in fact, the first way to compute geodesics, but instead to compute geodesics from the boundary of the image domain or from all points around. What we propose is to use what we call adaptive voting, which use end points adaptively scattered in the image domain. So instead to take every point which I said would get to some kind of smoothing effect, you would keep a small number of points, but these points would be scattered in an adaptive way, which means that they would be located where you expect to have the object, which means where the potential is small. So what we propose is, in fact, to use the remeshing scheme we proposed a few days ago, when we starting with a point, and we used this furthest point strategy, where each iteration we consider the furthest point on the domain according to the geodesic distance. So here, if you take the potential p as the in order to compute this geodesic distance, it makes, in fact, the after a while you get the points are scattered all around, but they are scattered, as you remember, if the potential p is constant, then this point will give a uniform distribution on the domain. And that was used for uniform remeshing. So if here you consider the image domain, it's the same. But what I said, if you consider p that is now varying on the image domain, then what you get is adaptive density of points, which means that here you have a higher density where p is small, which means p is small corresponds to the structure here where you see that you have red points, very dense number of points here, while on the background where p is larger, you have a smaller density of points, but still you have a uniform distribution. So p is the potential we use from the beginning. I mean, which in this case it can be based on the image intensity, but in a case p will be the potential that you use for the problem, which means that p is the feature that you expect to be small where your object is located. So in this way, you have a set of points that are scattered all around and that are, have a high density on the object. So here, this is an extreme case where the image is very simple. It is, and the object, in fact, is already in some way well known. So the points are already on the object itself. So in a real image, it will not be like this. The red points will be located close to the object where you expect to have the object, and it will give you this important vote. So what you give here, what you see here, is the set of geodesic paths from the starting point to all the red points. So you see now that the points, the paths are all around, and you avoid this problem of shading zone. And you get here this vote. Now, if you make a threshold on this vote, you get here the whole object you expect to find. So you have get the whole, all the branches. So now what you see here is this, this is a way to measure how efficient it is. So in this case, as I said, this is a very simple case where you know the object, since this is a binary image. So you know the object precisely, and you can compare with what you find here, if it, it was efficient or not. So you can consider the difference of the two sets here, the set difference, which means that you count points that are here but not there, or points that are here but not there. And it will give you this overlap ratio that is here as a function of the threshold that is used. So here you see that if the threshold is too small or too large, it is less efficient. But for a large range of threshold, you get a rather good result. So this is an experimental definition, but we found out that in all our example, the choice of 100 of the maximum value of the geodesic density would be a good value for the threshold. And this is due to the fact that in each of these examples, we use the same number of paths and same number of points, which is, in fact, we use a number of points, 1,000 points, which correspond to the same number of points that we had on the boundary, since we have an image which is 256 by 256. Okay. So now that we have this definition, this has a good property of not being sensitive to the source point. So if you get, if you give the source point here, here, or here, or anywhere in the, on the structure, you get a very similar result for the geodesic voting. So here is an example for the real image, the biological image, where you see here the starting point in red, and here the red points are this adaptive set of points, and the set of geodesic paths here gives you these votings where you find a large part of this structure. Something that you can notice here is that this will be this can be a problem with this geodesic voting method is that, I mean, in fact, most paths, most branches in this voting are good. There is only one thing that here you see that an artificial branch coming here. This artificial branch here is due to the fact that you have endpoints that are attracted by this path and then have to be linked to the starting point, and all the points that are coming from this region find this path as a way to join the big structure here. So this is an artificial path here, since you see that there's nothing happening here. And in fact, this can be removed by a post-processing this can be removed easily, since here the energy of the path here would be very small, very large, I mean, compared to the energy of the path here. So here the paths that are found here are above small values of the potential, they are on the object, while here you have a very large potential, so it means a very large value of the energy. So this can be removed, I mean, by a simple processing in a, when you deal with a precise application. Okay. So this is same thing in Archer, where you see this. But mainly the other branches are found in a good way. So now this is the effect of this method on this vessel image, where you give the starting point here. You find here U is the geodesic distance to this point, using as a potential a function of the gray level. So here you see that the vessels are white, which means the potential will be a decreasing function of the gray level. And if you consider the initial geodesic voting method with points from the boundary of the image domain, so 4 times 256 endpoints, this is what you get for the voting. So you see that you get very well most of the branches. However, you have some branches that you don't get, like this one or this one or this one. So you don't get them at all. So here it is due to shading zone problem, or also due to the fact that in the background you have many different things. It's not as in the simple case where you had a constant background. So here you have a lot of things happening here also as well. So now if you consider all points in the image as endpoints, you see that you solve partially the missing branches. So here this branch that was missing, or this branch that was missing, they appear to be good here. So if you get the whole set of paths, so you have this kind of smoothing effect, which has some positive ways and some negative ways. I mean, one positive way is that since you get everything, you also get this branch or this branch. But this branch or this one, they don't appear once again, because of this smoothing effect. So here, this branch will have some voting from the area that is close here, but this will be small compared to the huge number of paths that are considered. So now, if you consider the adaptive set of points, this is what you get here. You see the geodesic path to the starting point. So I'm sorry, the colors here didn't get very nicely. So you see all the paths. And this is what you get for the voting. So you see that the branch where we had some problems before, like this one, or this one, or this one, you see that you get a better result than with the previous approach. So you see that this approach, you get the best result, and it has both the advantage of giving good results, being in some way independent to the initial source point, and also very fast, since the number of points you use here is a relatively small number. Okay, so now that we got this method, we can say that we will use it like it is here. We can say that this is what we expect to find, or we wish to find something more complete, which means that here we may be interested in finding both this skeleton structure of this object, as well with the boundaries of the object, which means, for example, that we wish to find center line plus boundary. And to do this, what we're going to propose different approaches, which are based on this voting, but use the voting in different ways to find the boundary. So the first way, which I find a very nice way, is to use the geodesic voting with the three dimension 2D plus radius energy. So we saw in previous courses that we can consider, in order to find a tubular shape, we can consider a path in a 3D space which corresponds to x, y, and radius, and a path in this space corresponds to a path in x, y associated with a disk centered at each point of this path. So the union of these disks will give a boundary here, and the set of x, y will give a center axis, a center line. So we defined this previously, a potential that you could define for each point x, y, and r, in order for the minimal path, for the minimal geodesic, to locate in a way to correspond to the vessels or the tubular shapes that are present in the image. So using this kind of potential here will allow the minimal path to locate exactly in order to make the boundary of the model correspond to the boundary of the vessel you're looking for, and the central axis to be exactly the central line of the vessel. So this is what we showed earlier. So given a starting point and an end point, we had this kind of path. Or in a real image, a starting point, end point, you get the central line plus the region, and so the boundary of the vessel. Now, if you use this space 2D plus radius as a space to make the geodesic voting, which means that what you do is giving a starting point on this structure, and then make a geodesic voting, which means that you use, for example, the adaptive set of points in the 2D plus radius space. So you're not only having points on the image, but you have points in both image and radius space. So from an adaptive set, you get then votes everywhere. And so this is here, you can see it. So give a starting point, and you get here an adaptive set of points. You see the geodesic path in this 3D set, in 3D space. So here you see a little perspective. The third dimension is orthogonal to the board. And so you get this voting here. And now you could just use the thresholding on this 3D voting, but what can be more efficient here is, since what you were interested in this 2D domain, is to consider at each point. So here you see the thresholding of the vote. So what we think and showed to be better is to use for each point x on the image domain here, what you consider is the maximal response of the vote for all values of the radius r. So you consider this maximum value, or you could also consider the sum of all the contribution of this vote. And what you say here is that if you consider this maximal vote, this is what you get. So now you have a 2D image of vote. And on this 2D image, what you get is a high vote where the central axis should be located. So here, by thresholding this image, what you get is a complete vascular tree, and it is centered inside the vessel. So giving just one starting point, you get the complete description of this central axis. And also, at each point on this tree, you can find the radius for which it gives us the maximal response. And this radius will be considered here as being the local radius. And so you get also the complete description to give the boundary. So you have central axis plus boundary, but this time it is on a full tree structure. So you give one starting point and automatically you get the complete description of the tree structure, center line plus width or boundary. Okay. So you can see here an example or on knife on this image. So this is a database that is used where you have manual ground truth in blue here, and so it can be compared with other method. And what you see here is the initial vote. So if you make the vote in 2D image, so what you see is that the path is not centered on the vessel, and also it is not very good here. While when you use this 2D plus radius method, what you get is here the votes, and you get a result that is very close to the ground truth. So in the corresponding paper, you can see some more precise result on this database of image, and show that this is indeed a very good, very efficient to find the precise location of the vessel. Okay. Now, a second way to use the geodesic voting. So, in cases where the for various reasons this would not be the good choice, for example, if you have to use this is a large image and you have to use a large number of radius, this increases the computation time since you have a third dimension. Or also, so for example, in this case, so you may prefer to use a level set segmentation and use the voting as initial value. So what you can see is that in this kind of images are very difficult to segment, because you have a background here which is varying a lot. It is not a constant background. And what you see that in this area, you have a background that is close to the values on the object here. This is very dark. While here, you have a background which is much brighter. And so using active control with level set method in this kind of image, it's very difficult. And you may use either edge-based forces or region-based energy, and in both cases, it is difficult for different reasons. So here, when you use an edge-based potential for the level set active controls, you are very poor. I mean, the result is very poor here because of lots of noise and a lot of, the background is very complex, has very many edges in the background. And using a region base, which means kind like Chan-Weze energy, where you're looking for a boundary between two constant regions, this is not efficient because as I said, you don't have a constant background. So part of the background is included in the object region when it is here darker. So what I meant here to say was that using directly on this kind of image active controls is very difficult. So now what we can do is use our voting scheme on this image. So here you can use a 2D voting, and this 2D voting will give you by thresholding an initial tree here in red, And from this initial tree, you can use now the level set active contour. But if you use it like this, this will also may also evolve in a bad way. So what we do is, at the same time, you have this initial value for the initial value for the level set is using this tree that is dilated by width here. So you get here this boundary, which is the initial curve, and also this will be shaped prior, a kind of shape prior, in the way that you can impose that the level set will not move too much from this initial curve. So it means that here, from this voting result, you make a dilatation, you define by this initial curve, and you define phi tilde being the sine distance to this curve. So its zero level set is this curve. So phi tilde is the initial value for an evolving level set active contour. But also you add, so this is Chan-Weze energy, so imposing that inside and outside you have constant values. But also you had a term like this, phi minus phi tilde square. Time, so phi is a level set function that you make evolve. And having this kind of term here, it's kind of shape prior. It makes that that phi does not come too far from phi tilde. So it can deform from it, but not too much. And in this way, what you see is you get this result here. So starting from this curve, you get this boundary here. So you see that you have a very good boundary of the object you're looking for. And this you find out the result of the voting was important in two ways, as I said. One way is in order to initialize the level set close to the solution you expect, and also to constrain the level set in order not to deform too much from this initial value. So once again, this approach, you use first step is the geodesic voting, and second step is shape segmentation with level set active contours using shape prior. So you have these two steps. Okay. So now there is a third. This can be extended also to 3D. So both the geodesic voting and the level set active contours can be extended to 3D. So what you see here is the 3D data here, from which you get the voting will give you these branches, and from the approach I just described, you get here segmentation of the object, which can see it is the object that you expect to find. So this can also be applied to airways images, which have very complex tree structure, and this is efficient to find this the whole tree structure. Okay, so now we will end this part with the third way to use the geodesic voting. So in fact, this is a little similar to the second one in the way that what you do is to use the voting result as an initial value for the deformable model. So you give a starting point, you compute the geodesic stuff, and you have voting, this voting scheme here will give you you get it here in blue, the high values of the vote, and then you clean it a little by removing the small portion, and then you use this initial tree structure, and when you use the tree structure as an initial value for a deformable tree structure. So this is some deformable model we used, you introduced before, that is based, in fact, this is a little similar to this 2D plus radius space, but what you have is a 2D plus radius curve where you define an energy on this deformable curve. So you have a deformable curve C, and at each point you have a width R, and you define a band around this curve by plus and minus R. So this gives you this band, and in fact there is a clever way to use the deformation of the curve and to define some integration on the band using the green formula of integration over the band, can be seen as the integration over all parallel curves. And this makes some kind of simplification, but the nice thing here is that you can make evolve this curve in order to locate the outside curves here with the boundary of the structure you're looking for. And also you can define the tree structure with this model. And so this is what you see here. You can define both, a deformable tree where you have both the central axis and boundary, just based on the evolution of the set of curves. And so you see here intermediate steps. So here, as in the previous example, the voting is used to find an initial tree structure. So because this is based on evolution of curve, in order to minimize an energy, may be stopped by local minima, and having a very good initialization allows you to avoid local minima, and also to go very fast since you're already very close to the result, and also to give a very precise result that you do not get with the voting, since here you get very precise, you adapt very precisely to the image. So you see here the initial tree obtained from the voting. Then you see one intermediate step and the final step here, where you get all the branches and all the complete structure. So you can see here, this is very efficient on various kind of images. So you see here the initial images. Here you see the initial, the voting results. So the blue corresponds to the initial center line. And here you see the result of the deformable band, the deformable tree. So this can also be extended to 3D images with a 3D deformable cylinder or deformable tree as well, where based on the same thing that you have a diffraction of a curve plus a radius around. And you can make everything evolve in order to minimize some energy, active control energy. And once again, this is based on using the initial tree defined by the voting scheme, and then evolve this initial tree in order to minimize the energy and get efficiently a good result that's for segmentation of the vascular tree you wish. Okay. So this is a partial conclusion on this voting method. So you see that in all these methods, the user provides only one initial point, and you have a fast and efficient way, and a fast and efficient propagation algorithm. And this voting scheme is a powerful tool to find the structure, which can be then completed with another approach. Okay. So this is a good time to stop.
Patrick Guidotti. I was not here before.
Okay.
So how do you set up this system function in the beginning?
Oh, that was the subject of the.
I imagine, but I was not here. So.
Yeah. So this is based on the Iconal equation to define the geodetic distance to the point weighted by a potential function.
Okay. Okay. So I can look it up somewhere. Do you have slides or?
There will be slides posted. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Where are you from?
Irvine. UC Irvine.
Okay. So you follow the course or you're
visiting? Yeah, for 2 weeks. I just came.
Okay. Okay. Good. time. Okay, so now we pass to a completely different subject. I mean, this is still segmentation and it is still fast marching, but it is the different way. And in fact, this so far we've seen a lot of methods based on geodesic paths. And the geodesic paths are, I mean, the fast marching is a way to solve the Iaconov equation and find the path. But what we're going to see now is that the fast marching can be itself used for image segmentation. And the fast marching can be itself used for a way to solve active contour evolution. So, so here's the relation. So in active controls, so this is something I mentioned at the very beginning of the course, that active controls is, are curves that are minimizing some energy. And in order to minimize this energy, you solve an evolution equation. C, curve C evolves at some speed in order to be stopped where, for example, you have the gradient of the image. So you have such, you can write the evolution equation like this. dt over dt equals something in the normal direction, where this, so this you have a curve, so you have a curve C that evolves. At each point you define a speed which is in the normal direction with a speed S. And classically in active controls, this force F is a function of the image gradient. So in a way that when you reach high values of the gradient, the force F will be reduced to very small or zero, and then it will stabilize, and the contour evolution stops when it is stable. So this is the idea of active controls. So where you have, for example, you have some objects here, and here if you take F equals 1 over 1 plus gradient I square. So this is an example. When the gradient is large, F becomes small. And so you can have here an evolution where you add a constant value. This constant value corresponds to what is called the balloon force, which makes the curve evolve in like a balloon that you blow inside this balloon, and you inflate this balloon. So you have this force like this, and when the curve reaches the boundary, it then stops because F becomes small. So this is a general idea in order to solve mesh segmentation by curve evolution. Now, what I wish to explain now is that this curve evolution that is very often used solved by level set method, or that can also be used directly as an evolving curve, may be somewhat computation. The computation can be costly. So here we have a special case when F here is positive. Then we can see that the solving this evolution equation, which goes always in the same direction, can be solved using the fast marching that we've been dealing with for many days now. So assume that you have a curve C sinusoidal subject to this curve evolution, and an initial curve C0. Then, so what I said here, Phi t plus f gradient psi, Lagrange phi, is the level set evolution that you solve. So we're not doing that now. What we do is we consider what is called the time arrival, the arrival time. So what we say that at each point x on the image domain, we can define the time by which the curve evolution will reach this point. So this arrival time here at time t equals zero, at all points on, I mean, t of c zero of x of f equals zero by definition. By definition, the arrival time on the curve is zero because this is the position it is at time t equals zero. Now, when the curve evolves at time t, the curve is here, which means that all points on the curve C of T and S are given value T. So this is the definition. So the fact that S is positive means that C evolves always in the same direction, and you'll pass on you'll pass only once by each point. So you this definition is unique. I mean, you cannot pass by twice on a point. So it may be that you have points that are never reached, for which the time will be infinite. But now what happens is if you use this definition, in fact, this definition, it is exactly the equation that we had earlier for the to show the geodesic distance satisfies the Ekoner equation. So in fact, what we see here is that the arrival time satisfies this definition, and you can take the derivative of this equation both to variable t and variable s, and then you get exactly the same equation we had before, but it takes here different meaning. So here, if you derivate it with respect to s, which means that you take the derivative in the tangential direction here, you obtain gradient t scalar c prime of s equals zero. This means that the gradient of t is orthogonal to the curve c of t, which is classical, since c of t is a level set of capital T. So its gradient is orthogonal to its, the gradient of T is orthogonal to its level set. So which means also that gradient T, the normal to the curve S can be written gradient T over norm of gradient T. So now if you take the derivative with respect to T here, so which means that you take a point and follow trajectory in T, then you get gradient T scalar dc over dt equals 1. And by definition, you have this curve C evolving with speed s, which means here you replace dc over dt by f times the normal, and this gives gradient t scalar f gradient t over norm of gradient t equals 1, which means you have norm of gradient t times f equals 1. So it means that recall what we've done so far. So we looking for an evolution of a curve. You're looking for a curve evolving like with this equation, dc over dt equals f times n. And we see that by defining the arrival time t, this time t satisfies the equation gradient t equals 1 over f. So this can be solved using the fast marching method, which is much faster than using a level set approach. And this means that when you use the fast marching method, the solution of the fast marching at time, the level set of the solution of the fast marching will give you the location of the curve at time t. So if you take the t level set, it gives you the evolution of the curve at time t. So solving this, the fast marching will give you exactly the evolution. So this is what you see here in an image of colon, intestine, as you said, is starting from a small point here. The fast marching this is working in a 3D image. Here, the fast marching evolves and goes inside. No, I thought I had an evolution. I don't find it. Okay. So here you see that you have the evolution of the front. So here it is in 3D. So here this is not a curve, it is a surface that evolves according to given force. And you solve the fast marching in 3D, and this gives you the level set of the solution of the equinoid equation, gives you the evolving surface in the image. So in fact, f here is it can be based either on gradient, or in this case, f is based on the Gras level in this example. I have another example. I don't know why this is here. I don't know why this is disappearing. No. So here you see the evolution of the front. So here this is obtained by the fast marching evolution, but this models exactly the evolution of the front like this. This evolution, where here f in fact is related to the Gras level. So in this example, in fact, inside the object, it is the Gras level is very small. And when you go on the boundary, the Gras level becomes very high. So this function of the Gras level makes it make f very small when you are on the boundary. So here it is based on the gradient of the image. So it is on a brain image, on a face image. So you see here the fast marching starting from the point inside. You get the brain surface. So this means that what we've done with the fast marching so far was using the fast marching to find fast. And what I mean here is that the fast marching can itself be used for as an efficient way to make segmentation of a surface of or a curve in 2D. Now, this may be very efficient. But this may be so. With you when you try it a little further, you find some problems you can have. And for example, here, since what you solve is an evolution offer front with a force, I mean a speed that is positive. When the speed becomes very small, it is not completely zero, it is very small. So what it means that is that when you solve in what we had here in this example, what you have here, it is an example where you have a huge difference between the force inside and the force on the boundary. So on the boundary, the force is very, very small compared to the force inside, which means that when you have this tree structure here, then you have the front that goes inside, but on the boundary it doesn't move because it moves very, very slowly. I mean, the F is not zero, but it is so small that when the front has reached here, by the time T it is here it has moved very, very slowly. So it is, you can assume it is still on the boundary. But this is not always the case. This is related to the quality of the image or the quality of the force you define. And in this example I now have, so this is an example of with on the vascular tree of the aorta. What you have here is this is a long tree. By the time the front reaches the end here, it may be that the force here is not the difference between inside and outside is not so large, and so here you have a small force, a small speed, but integrated over a long time, it will lead to flooding. So this is what you see here. You have by the time, so this is the beginning. At the beginning you have this front that goes inside kind of tube, and when the front here goes further, here it makes a fluid. So here you see that you go out of the object, and by the time the front reaches the very end of the vascular tree, you see here that it is catastrophic. I mean, here you have complete fluid, and you have no information at all. So while you see that while fast marching is very efficient in example like this, or it is very bad. It behaves very badly in this example. So this is why we propose here an idea that's called freezing, which means that we're going to, we're going to see a way to modify this fast marching evolution when you wish to use it for image segmentation. So the idea here is that assumes here that you have a potential P, I mean, you have the force F is the inverse of the potential P. So the force F assumes that it is large when it is dark here. So you have a force F which is large here on the three branches, and it is very small everywhere else. So if you start from this point here, and you make the fast marching from this point, what happens is that the front propagates in the three branches, but at the same time it propagates inside, it also propagates in outside. So what you see that in each of these branches happens what I described, is the fact that here it has a constant speed which is very large, and here it has a constant speed which is very small. So by the time the front reaches the end of the branch, here it has gone out a little. So if you wish to use the fast marching to find minimal path or geodesic, it will not be a problem because the path between this point and this point will be the good path on the branch. But now if you wish to use the fast marching as a way to segment this object with three branches, it is a problem since the front here gives you a thick object, while here you have very thin branches. So what can be done here is to freeze. I don't know why there's something missing here. Oh, here. Oh, maybe it is not in English. So what we propose here is to define. Okay. So here, what you can assume is that what you can define is the based on what we saw before, using both the geodesic descent to the starting point and also the length of the minimal path, which means that here at each point on the front you have a geodesic descent which is almost the same, but at each point on the front you have different values of the length of the minimal path. So you see here that you have a very small minimal path when you make gradient descent, while here you have a very long minimal path. So what you can consider is the maximum value of the minimal path, or among all these points here on the front, you can consider the maximum value of the length, so which will be reached here on this point, for example. And so the maximum value will be this length. And you say that the maximum value of the length corresponds to what we call the head of the front, the what is going ahead in the front, while the small values of the length, if the minimal path has a small length, we say that the point will be in the tail of the front. So these will be points which are around here. It means that the front goes on quickly here on the head, while it goes on very slowly on the tail. And so this is, you can see here in this formula. So if you call Bmax is this maximum value of the length of the path, and if D of V at each voxel, you define this as the length of the minimal path. So what you can say is that if this is smaller than the maximum value divided by alpha, or smaller than maximum value minus a constant here, then in each case you say that you are not close to the head of the front and you should stop the propagation. So this is what is called the freezing. The freezing freezes points that are not on the very head of the front. So in this way what happens is that you have like this, instead of having this evolution which allows to have large widths here, here you have an evolution where these points will be frozen due to the fact that they are closer to the starting point than these points which evolve faster. And so we have here, these points are frozen and you get the fast marching, we get you this structure without this width, the width. So you see here the points that are frozen according to this criterion. Okay, so I understand. So now when you come back to this first example, what you see is that you freeze the points that are white here, and so in this way you have just the head of the front that goes on, while this part of the front is frozen, so it doesn't move anymore. And so this way you have this kind of propagation inside the object, which allows you to go and reach the end of the object, but to keep the good segmentation everywhere. So here, starting from this point, the fast marching will give you the whole segmentation. Yeah, so now it is front evolution, so I'm not sure how you can relate it to a PDE or not. But you have lost the initial definition of the PDE you had. But yeah, but the fact is, in fact, you use this PDE to, you're not interested in the PDE itself, what you are interested in the limit curve. So this PD is a mean to get to the results that you, the segmentation of the object. So if this PD doesn't do a good job, as we've seen, so it is not a good PD.
Right.
So this. Yeah. So yes. So I'm not sure about it. Okay. Maybe. It's an interesting question. Yeah. Okay. So now what you may ask is when should you stop this process? Because this process, I mean, you have a propagation inside the image that may go on. I mean, you have these points are frozen, but the head of the front, it goes on propagating. So when should you stop? So here there is a very special case which corresponds to medical images in terms of vessels, where we can give a nice way to stop the propagation of the front using the fact that you have vessels where the width of the vessel should be constant, which means that whenever the vessel splits in many branches, the sum of the width is approximately constant. Which means that if you see here, you plot the value of the length or the maximal length of the path relatively to the volume of the structure here. This is what you get. So one before seeing this, what you see is that if you have a perfect cylinder with a constant width, I mean the section would have a constant area, then when I said width, I meant area. Here I meant didn't mean a constant width. A constant cross-section area. So here, if it is only one tubular structure, it means that the volume of inside the cylinder is equal to this cross-section times the length. Now, the volume corresponds to the number of voxels inside the structure. So since by the fast marching algorithm you add one voxel at each iteration, it is easy to keep track of this volume. This is the number of voxels that you've passed by so far. So you can show here the plot of the length, the maximal length of the minimal path, which means the starting point is here, for example. And for each point on the front, you consider the maximal the length of the minimal path, and this length will be maximal for what we call the head of the front somewhere here. So if you consider the volume, which is the number of points that you pass by, divided by the length of the maximal length of the path, we get an estimate of this cross section. Which means that here what you see is this function, which is linear. You see that you have a linear you have a linear function. And as long as you are inside the object with a constant cross-section, you are linear. Now what happens is that when you reach the end of the branches, what happens is that you go out of the branches with no you don't have any more here vessels, so you have the fast marching goes everywhere in all directions simultaneously. So the volume you had is no more it is a high, much larger cross section. So here in fact you see here the number of iterations, which is the volume, and here the length. So you see that the length is increasing, and this is 1 over the cross section. And here there is a discontinuity in this value of cross section, which here means when you go out, there is a sudden change in this cross section. So here this can be used, this detecting this discontinuity can be used to define the time by which you stop the evolution. So once you've gone across this curve and you found this discontinuity, you can say that you stopped here and go back to where you were at that time. So you stop the fast marching at this point and you find this segmentation. So this is very efficient way and fast way to find segmentation of vascular tree like this. Okay. So a second method which is based on this idea. So I've presented here a way to use the fast marching as an efficient and fast method for curve of surface evolution in order to segment, to make segmentation. So this segmentation is based only on what happens on the boundary, because here you have F here. F is based on the image. So this is an edge-based force, or an edge-based term, which makes the evolution of the surface stop when it reaches some boundary. Now, what can be very useful in many images, like medical images, is when you have an active contour evolution, as I mentioned earlier, you may be interested to have also a region-based term, which means that you wish to have, for example, you wish to make use of the fact that inside the object you have an almost constant gray label. And so in what we saw before, you have no way to use to say that inside this region here you would have a constant gray label or an homogeneous region here, because it doesn't appear in F. F is only what happens on the boundary. So what is called dual front segmentation can make use of region base using two fronts simultaneously. So it means that you assume that you're looking for a curve C that makes separation between inside and outside regions. So what you wish is that the curve C would locate exactly on the boundary of the object you're looking for, and you have an initial curve C, and what you do is that you make first a dilation, which means that you will have an outside curve and an inside curve, and both these curves you're going to evolve fronts one towards the other. So you're going to make a front propagation from the inside curve outward, and a front propagation from the outside curve inward. Now these two fronts will go one to in direction of the other, and they will stop when they meet each other. So the fact is, if you take these two fronts going at a constant speed one towards the other, then they will stop exactly at the initial C, which is the middle of the two curves. So of course the idea is not to make them go at constant speed, but go at different speeds in order that the meeting point, the meeting curve, will locate where you have reached the difference in the two domains. So it means that assume that you have some potential inside and some potential outside, which means that you have some reason to think that inside, for example, it is white, outside it is gray, and so what you do is define a potential inside and a potential outside, so that when you make this front propagation, in fact, what you are doing is solving iconal expression inside, iconal expression outside. So here you start from the inside curve outward, you start from the outside curve, inward, and what you're looking for, I mean the meeting curve corresponds to the place where you inside equals you outside. This is the meeting point where you have the same values for the two geodesic distance u. So now the choice of potential here is the basic idea. So this choice of potential may be based on here some constant, some some boundary term. So for example, based on the gradient, but also some region-based term. But a region-based term can be simply or something like I minus I inside square. So if I take P equals that, it means that if I am here, I have the curve, and assume that my object is here. So if this is, for example, black, and outside you are white. So it means that when you are here, you have a potential P which is small. So here, you imagine the image you give is a black square on a white background. So assume that you have your initial curve which is here, and you make front propagation. So here the potential is small because I minus I inside is small, which means that the front propagation goes fast. Now when you reach the boundary here, the I here becomes large. So I minus I inside is large, which means that this potential here becomes large. So when potential becomes large, it means that the front propagation will be slower. And so the front propagation will be slower when it reaches the boundary. So it means that here you make use of a region-based term. So now what happens is that assume that you have both a curve in outside and a curve inside. So the curve outside will use I minus I outside square, where I outside, for example, corresponds to white. So as long as the pixel here has a large value, then the front will go fast. When the front reaches point where the gray level becomes smaller, then the front propagation gets slower, which means that this front inside going outside and this front outside going inside will meet where you have the discontinuity here, the boundary between the inside and outside. Can you see something here? Maybe. No, because if you work with one curve, it will not stop. It will go outside.
Or you will use one of the criteria to stop the
other. Yeah. So what you see here are some examples where you have here. So here, in fact, you just see the initial curve. So here, in fact, you have two initial curves. And you see that in this example, you have homogeneous region here, bounded with a gradient which is not so large somewhere. So here you have, for example, here the gradient is not very good, and using gradient-based potential would fail in this example. while using this approach, which makes use both of gradient-based and region-based, and it's based on fast marching point propagation, you get the good results here. So you get the two curves. So now, I don't know if you see it well, but here in this example, you give a starting curve here, and you have the convergence to this curve. So in fact, what happens here is that you iterate this process. So here, when the curve where the two fronts meet is called here C nu. Now this curve from C nu, you make a new iteration. So here you start again with C nu. So again, you make a dilation plus evolution of the front till this gives this stabilized. There is stable. The curve does not move anymore. Okay. So this is another example of this approach with front dual front approach, where you make use of a region-based term. So here in this in the brain you have gray matter, white matter. So you have here two surfaces that are detected. So each surface is detected with a separate front. And what you see here are the cross section of this surface. But here you see the two surfaces that are obtained by this segmentation and were shown to, were validated on database with real data and ground truth. Okay. So since it's five to, maybe we stop here. So maybe next time it will be a little longer, but I don't want to start something else.
Okay.
Well, the Chan Veze it solves evolution relative to region-based energy. So it is related in this in the fact that here also you make use of the region-based term, but you don't. It's not exactly the same thing.
Here the main thing is you can do the fast marching, but you need to have always the same time in the speed, which you don't have in some vessels to do it directly. So you will need another way, another algorithm to do it. But here, since you do the dilation, then everything, one of them goes in and the other goes out, and you can do fast marching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it means the same room?
To come back to the question I asked you before, to set up the distance function when you start.